Welcome to For the Love of Dogs with Dennis Wolf.
And today, well, we're after Christmas. We're almost at New Year's. It's amazing to think of how many things have happened this year, good and bad. And it's time to take stock and also to think about our animals a little bit more. You know, Christmas is a tough time, and the holidays in general, from Thanksgiving all the way out to New Year's, for those people who've suffered losses. And I wanted everybody to know that, you know, there are people you can speak with who can lessen or help you to understand a little bit why you have such pain at the loss of a dog. We suffered actually two losses this fall, both in very healthy dogs who had kind of crazy things happen. And I've heard a lot of that happening around the country. It just seems like there's so much tragedy for some, and some people seem to be immune to it. And I think what we need to do is today is to discuss a little bit about, you know, just take stock of what you got. You know, how many people don't realize what they have, and then a tornado hits them, or a wildfire hits them, or a tsunami, or a flood, or some other kind of, you know, hurricane or natural disaster, you know, mudslides. And, you know, people really, I think, don't appreciate in general what they have. And I'm very, very blessed. I just bought a gorgeous new facility. It's just huge. It's over 13,000 square feet. It's absolutely gorgeous. Beautiful home, kennels, carriage house, the whole thing. And I'm walking around here, and this is actually our first broadcast from the new facility. And I'm just here with the dogs, looking out and saying, my God, life can change so quickly. You can have the world and then you can lose it. Or someone can help you, and then you have the world. And things can really change very quickly, but I think it's important that while we have things and people in our lives, we appreciate them. How many people appreciate everything they've had and everything that's happened this year? I bet you that most of you are thinking of, oh, wow, I lost this, or I don't have that, or I wish I had that. You know what you got to think of? We're here. Now, those of you who know me know I'm a three-time cancer survivor. Not the same cancer three times, because I didn't remarry my ex-husband. You learn the error of your ways and you change. I had three different kinds of cancer. And people have said, oh, my gosh, you're so nice. I can't believe you had that and you're so nice. And, well, you know what? It's actually a blessing when you learn very young how precious life is. And that's why I appreciate things, and it's why I do great things every day for people to help them, just because I love it. I don't talk about it. I won't tell you all the things I do, but you'd be shocked if you knew all the people I've helped and animals I've saved and kids and veterans I impact. But that's why I'm here. And what I always love is at Christmas time when you get the kids or the, you know, young people who, and sometimes older, I need a new car, I need a new iPad, I need this, blah, blah, blah. And then you look at someone on an island in the Caribbean, or you look at somebody, you know, in an inner city, or someone who's just lost a job, or whose family, one of the family members, breadwinner, might have passed away, or had some tragedy or cancer or something. And boy, oh boy, life changes quickly. We have to appreciate what we've been given, because no matter how much you've lost, look at how much you still have to lose. And that's where I want to get into dogs and cats and having our pets and getting our pets through tough times, even though we are the ones who might be going through those tough times. Think about a pet that you had who you just loved more than anything. And, of course, we know chances are good that, unfortunately, we're going to lose them before they lose us. Animals live very ephemeral and short lives. Even a dog who can live 15 years or a horse that lives 30 years probably is not going to outlive its owner unless its owner is older or has a tragedy. So how do we get somebody through the loss of a loved and beloved pet? it's a lot different than with people. And, you know, I'm certified by the APLB, so I am actually a certified pet loss and bereavement counselor. And what I loved learning about when I went through my course and certification was to learn the stages of grief and how to kind of bring your bad negative feelings out so that you can really go back to those times that you just loved your animal and you appreciated your animal and had those great moments. And there was a particular lovely lady, Middle Eastern, wonderful, beautiful. She had two dogs, and one of them she just really went through a lot with over the last 2 years. And because of a veterinarian who I happen to know and don't like either, who also made a big mistake with one of my animals, her dog passed away. She had to euthanize her dog. There was no hope. And I had a great talk with her about things, and I hope she's listening. I'm sure she is. And I want everybody to understand that, first of all, it's okay to grieve, and it's actually helpful and healthy for you to grieve. Some of you are probably right now breaking down into tears because you either have recently lost a pet or I'm bringing back memories for you. But what happens in time is that you start to forget the pain of the loss and the joy that that animal brought you all those years, all that time you had him or her, is what starts to come back. It's kind of like they become a part of you that you know you can't see the rest of them, but you feel that they're still with you. And another part of that is learning when to say it's okay to let that animal go. You know, we had a dog who I wanted to speak again about. We did speak about this a couple weeks ago. There's this great dog, and it's one of Wyatt's sons, and just phenomenal dog, 8 years old, 8.5 years old. And they didn't know what was going on, that the little boy who was about 4 years old, the grandson, loved grapes. And we were actually, the day before we had to put him to sleep, the little boy was there, and he kept talking about he wanted grapes, he loves grapes. And I just kind of turned to the mom and the grandmom, and I said, you know, you're so, you know, so cute, that's great. Do you share them with Seamus, the dog's name? Do you share them with Seamus? And he goes, I don't give him a lot, just sometimes I give him one or two. And the thought came to me that that little boy had probably done that, maybe one or two grapes, for probably the last year or so. And remember, the grapes and raisins can be toxic, not to every dog, but to the dogs who are sensitive to it, they can kill them. And that's what happened. This dog, his kidneys shut down, perfectly healthy, amazing, huge, gorgeous, strong, perfect 8.5-year-old dog. So let's talk about that at the holiday time again, about what foods you need to avoid, and also how to absolve yourselves of the guilt that you may feel, because it's normal to feel guilty. It's normal to feel that you could have done more. And for some people, it's true, you could have done more. But for the people who are listening and for the people who know they've given all and done all, it's okay to lose sometimes, you know. Sometimes no matter how hard you fight, you're just going to lose the fight and lose the battle. But make sure that you're not keeping that sweet animal who was so good to you alive just for you. Make sure that he still got a quality of life on his scale. You know, people have said to me, you know, if I ever lost my legs, or if I ever, you know, became blind, or if I ever, whatever, fill in the blank, I'd want to kill myself. But you know what? The human spirit is indomitable. The human spirit wants to go on. And when it doesn't want to go on, that's when we can just shut our bodies down. Well, guess what? Dogs, when they are done, they stop eating. When a dog doesn't want to live and he's about ready to go, he wants to just quit. He wants to just go to sleep. And dogs don't have that fear of death like we do. We have a terrible fear of death because we know, oh no, how many times have we been to funerals? And, you know, we see death. We watch the news. We see all the things happening around us. And I think sometimes we almost forget that we as humans know that we understand death and we're maybe afraid of it because we know it's final. We think it's final. Who knows if somebody comes back? We don't know. I don't know until I either leave and I come back, or if I don't come back, then guess what? It doesn't matter because I wasn't even there to know. But you'll see that so often. People will blame themselves. And I've seen people who say, oh my God, I didn't know grapes were toxic. Oh my gosh, I know chocolate was toxic. Well, did you know that onion can and garlic powder and things like that can also be very, very toxic, more so over a long period of time. It's kind of crazy how the body works. If a dog ingests, let's say, a whole onion, okay, let's say you made like chicken soup and you used a whole onion and the dog conceivably ate a whole good size onion in one sitting, it's got less of a chance of being really sick and having severe side effects from that than if you cut up that onion and gave it to him over the course of a few weeks, because the toxins kind of slowly get taken in to the cells, and that's what causes the problem. So we all know the giant list of things to avoid, but I want you to all understand that at Christmas and Hanukkah, which is like now, and New Year's, you know, there's a lot of foods that we don't normally eat. You got to be careful of your guests, making sure your guests aren't trying to be kind to the dog and giving it something that can cause it to have a problem. People don't mean to do things, but, you know, sometimes, you know, even the best of intentions, right? So what we want to try to do is, you know, figure out as much as you can what you need, what you want to do, how, you know, basically how you, you know, are able to, you know, communicate that and communicate it to your dog too. You know, let's face it, we really should, you know, should think a little bit more about, you know, what we're doing and how we're doing it, and, you know, try to, you know, do the right thing. So when you have that dog, you have that cat, and you kind of say, you know, to yourself, oh, you know, man, this is so hard. It's just really, you know, tough to let this animal go or whatever. Well, think about what you're doing and why you're doing it, and try to be, you know, a little more objective so that, you know, at least you can, you know, at least you can know that you've done everything. And I think that's the thing that bothers us when we feel that, you know, we have to let an animal go. We feel that for whatever reason, you know, we have let this dog down somehow. And I think you have to think that, you know what, we're not letting them down. Sometimes, unfortunately, letting them go, which is definitely the harder thing to do than just keeping them around, sometimes that letting them go is what you need to do, because it's not for you. It should be for them to try to get those wonderful, wonderful animals to be able to go longer and, you know, be able to do the best they can for as long as they can. So we'll try to get on to a more happy kind of a thought. But what I do want to do is let you guys think about it for a minute. You know, what do you typically think of when you think of perhaps a, you know, a something like, you know, you say, okay, well, I don't know if I should put my dog to sleep because he still has a quality of life. That's a personal thing. It really is. It shouldn't be a giant, you know, like worry for you. It should be more of something that you say, you know, I just feel that this is the right way to go. I just feel that this is something that, you know, that you should try to, you know, deal with. But I think part of the crying and dealing with it and all that is, you know, is learning that, hey, it's okay. I mean, it is really, really, really okay for you to let the dog go. It is okay. And you have to think about what's the most important thing in life is love and enjoyment and quality of life, so that you can, you know, kind of feel more more at ease and all with your decision. So if it helps you and you think about it and you say, wow, you know, I really, you know, appreciate the fact that, you know, that I have this opportunity with my dog. Everybody always asks me, you know, is it better for the dog to let go on its own or for me to make that decision? And again, that's a personal decision. You just have to think about, you know, what do you think that dog would have wanted? And, you know, there's some dogs who are absolutely incredible. And those dogs, you know, really want to, you know, have more of a long life. And some dogs, you know, you kind of think maybe, you know, they don't really care. You know, sometimes dogs will just kind of lay down or they'll kind of walk away from you. And you don't know why they're doing that. But why they're doing it is dogs don't have that fear. So if your dog, if you have that feeling and you say, oh my gosh, should I put the dog to sleep? And you get that feeling and you keep getting the same question in your head about should I? You probably should. It's probably time. So let's talk a little bit about something less depressing than losing our animals. Let's talk about getting through the winter. We've been so blessed in the Northeast with the last week or so has been in high 40s and even into the 50s. When the weather starts turning, and especially when there's salt on the roads, you might want to consider investing in, obviously, if you have a German Shepherd or a Husky, you don't need a coat. But if you have a short-coated breed, you have, you know, a Ridgeback, a Dalmatian, you have a Mutt, a Beagle, you know, a designer dog, whatever it is, that has short hair or thin hair like a Maltese, even though it has a lot of hair, it doesn't have a very high insulating factor, you might want to consider getting a nice coat. And they have some with like a belly band that goes underneath. So you actually can have the underside of the dog that's near the snow will be covered as well. They have really crazy snow suits too. I mean, that could be a little excessive. But if you live in a city or if you walk on a road, even on a wet day, even though there's like right now, there's not snow on the ground here, whatever road salt was on the road is still on the road. So make sure you wipe your dog's feet off. Just get that road salt off. And also consider investing in a little pair of some kind of doggy booties, because those are going to be able to keep the road salt and the snowballs and ice balls from starting in your dog's between their pads where the hair is. A lot of times that happens. And they can actually, some of those ice balls that get up there can actually almost act like they're as if it were a rock and can cause your dog to, you know, have problems walking. And then it also gets up in there and then they start licking their feet. And whatever was on the road is now in there, is they're ingesting. So, you know, think about winter kind of things that might be very helpful for you, and try to, you know, make it easier on your dog as much as you possibly can. Because then, you know, obviously the dogs can't do anything. We have to do things for them. And if you're able to, you know, work with your dog and make your dog kind of, you know, a little happier, then why not, right? Okay, so Let's talk, you know, I wanted to kind of segue into it. Christmas ornaments and pine needles, because right now what's happening is everybody's got, you know, the trees that are up and all. Please make sure that when you check all the, like the tinsel ornaments, sometimes some of the ornaments are made of wood or something that a dog might actually care to get. And obviously, if, you know, something happens like that and the dog gets into it, we, you know, want to make sure that the dog is not going to have, you know, any problems with it. But I saw it was a husky mix, and this dog, I mean, seriously, ate the tinsel from the tree. And that was kind of creepy, because of course they eat the tinsel, and you know, it's a little bit of an issue, because now all of a sudden the dog, you know, is, when it defecates, you've got some issues. But tinsel can really hurt their intestines because the edges are sharp. So, you know, some people think it's cute. Oh, look, the dog is pooping out tinsel. Well, it might not be all that easy for you to, you know, have that happen, because remember that these dogs absolutely can and often do have, you know, have problems defecating. The other thing is anything, like I was saying, made of wood or anything that's similar to that, you can have the same issue. Sometimes little wooden ornaments or some new ornaments are made of things like cornstarch and all. And it's kind of, you know, it's kind of still like a regular food, you know. So they might eat it, but the paint and things that are on it could be toxic. And remember that when a dog or a person ingests poison, it doesn't always hit right away. Like even with, we all know that antifreeze is propylene glycol, ethylene glycol, and dipropylene glycol are three of the most common additives and components of antifreeze. So, you know, what winds up happening sometimes is that you can have a dog who, you know, does something, ingests something, but it's fine for a while, right? Because it takes a little time for all of that to transpire. And then all of a sudden, you know, the dog starts having problems like a week or two later. So it's a really good idea, if you have a question, if you think your dog may have ingested something, to bring him to the veterinarian, because there are a lot of treatments that can happen right away for your dog to be fine. And that's kind of what happened with the dog with the grapes. If they had known ahead of time, chances are pretty good that the dog could have potentially been saved, because they could have given things to mitigate the poison that was there. So anyway, ending our segment on a little bit happier note, I want to talk about some of the things that are good for dogs, things that can make him or her happy and healthy and feeling really good, but things that are also, you know, kind of heart smart for them. Remember that dogs have different thresholds for things like than we do. So if you have perhaps a dog who is, let's say, a little dog, like a Maltese or something, and then you have a dog who, like a bulldog, who's also low to the ground, but has a lot more mass to it, usually the dog who has more mass can handle more of that toxin. But there are certain breeds and combinations of breeds that don't tolerate certain things as well as others. And I think that's a good thing for you, especially those of you who have either a purebred, whether it's a well-bred or, you know, or a puppy mill dog, you know, just keep track of the breed and the things that you feel are, you know, are relevant. So just this way you're able to hopefully be able to, you know, kind of mitigate any issues that could happen. So What can you do? What can you give your dog? A little bit of turkey is great. Make sure you avoid anything with pepper and any garlic or onion powder that might be on it. But you can give your dog some turkey. I'm not a big fan of main diet turkey, but you can use that turkey and make it work for you pretty well. And then the other thing that's kind of also pretty cool that you can give your dog is sweet potatoes. I wouldn't give them the marshmallows on the top and all the sugar, but sweet potatoes, dogs love sweet potatoes. It's actually pretty good for them. It's healthy, and it does help their digestion. Or pumpkin pie, right? If you have pumpkin before you put all the things, if you take canned pumpkin and you're making a pumpkin pie, what you can do is just take, the pumpkin and put it in just like an empty pie plate, and you can cook that up without all this sugar and everything else. The dogs will like that, or you can cut up little pieces of it and add it to his food with a little chicken or steak or whatever. The key is with giving human food, because people are always saying, oh, I know you're not supposed to give people food. Well, if you are feeding your dog food, and the first or second and third ingredients, you'll look, chicken, oatmeal, rice, those are all people food. The key is making sure that your dog has a balanced diet. One of the things I ensure that all of my dogs do really well and are happy is I give my dogs NuVet vitamins. Those are amazing. It's NUVET, like NuVet, NUVET.com, and they're called NuVet Plus Canine Wafers. I've been giving my dogs these for 14, 15 years. They're really, really fantastic. And I've got to think that the reason they all look so good and feel good and, you know, are all healthy is those vitamins. So if you're giving any kind of a vitamin, I would check out the NuVet. And if you're not, I would definitely check it out. They also have a complex for the joints, which is fantastic because obviously, you know, your dog needs a little bit, unless it's, you know, a puppy or something, a little glucosamine and chondroitin, MSM, sharp cartilage, vitamin C, things like that are really good to keep the joints healthy. And, you know, keep them happy and nourished and all. You know, there's even a discount code that I think gets you 15% off on the auto ship, which is pretty cool. The number, I believe, is 86686. So it's NUVET.com. And the code is 86686. And what you'll do is when you order that, you want to do a loading dose. I just had one of my patients on it. The puppy is pretty young, but had a pretty good fall and was limping. And puppies, this is segueing to the next piece of, puppies and dogs on hardwood floors or marble floors, you got to be careful because they can twist and they can hurt their CCL. They can dislocate a hip if they don't have the greatest hips in the world. They can get fall or get basically slammed in the shoulder or T-boned by another dog or by running into something. And they can wind up with an OCD lesion in their shoulder or, you know, really get hurt. So it's important to make sure that, you know, you take care of the dog's body and mind, so to speak, so that you can have a better time and an easier time for your dog to be doing well and be healthy, because that would really be pretty horrible. So we're going to take a little break quickly, and then we'll come back in about a minute or two. And please, if you need that code again, or if you want to order the NuVet vitamins or the new joint, which is the other one, just go to that website. They're amazing people, and you can call them up and ask them. I think it's actually the 800 number is 800-474-7044. Ask them about it. They're really terrific. And then next week, hopefully, we'll talk about foods and things that are good for your dog and commercial brands that are good that don't cause DCM. We will be right back in a minute. Hang in there. welcome back to From Shelter Dog to Service Dog with Janice Wolf. How is everybody? Welcome back. As you know, we do the two segments. We combined my two radio shows into one because, frankly, I'm so busy. And I love giving you guys all the information, but I think the best way to go is to have things that can have multiple purposes, which is going to be what we're going to talk about today. Things with multiple purposes. How many of you have a dog, and especially with the holidays, you've been traveling around on the planes or in cars or hotels? My goal is in this world for us to have a situation where we can take our dogs pretty much anywhere and go places and do things and have a great time. But, you know, also you got to think about the fact that when we do these things, when we go places, you know, some people genuinely have just a wonderful way of doing things that are legit, as we say. And some people, I think, try to pull one over if they can. And I really want to implore and beg each of you to please do the right thing, okay? Don't get involved with things that you shouldn't. Don't lie and say your dog's a service dog. Don't lie and say your dog's an emotional support dog. Nobody wants the dogs to really be under the plane because we know that that's not a good thing, typically. But, you know, you got to also look at your defrauding, and we are working on some pretty intense legislation so that people will do the right thing. You know, after all, if you can do the right thing or the wrong thing, the question is, when nobody's around, nobody's watching you, and you know you're not going to get caught, what do? I always tell everybody, live your life as if God's got you on video. So you're always going to be doing the right thing, not because you're afraid or whatever, but do the right thing because you know that it's the right thing to do. Don't try to scam people and defraud. I've seen so many of these things going on lately. Now there's a new thing that PayPal, it's not PayPal's fault, but there are places who will take like the GoDaddy domain, or they'll take a company that a lot of people use, and they'll say, oh, we're asking you for PayPal for, you know, $69 because your web domain is going to be canceled. But meanwhile, you know, you don't have that website through them. You have the website directly through GoDaddy, and I just got one of those. These people are trying to scam us. But you know what? They are no better, nor are you any better than them when you fake a service dog. Please don't do that. You know it's wrong, but it's just obnoxious. And I always say to people, someday you may be disabled and it's going to bother you, the things you're doing now. Why don't you just not do it? Try to do the right thing for being the right thing. What we're going to start doing as the weeks progress is start having lessons for everybody. It'll be free lessons. We also do train people, and we do allow people to have their dogs at our facilities, either in New Jersey or in Missouri. And we've got a couple new facilities that'll be up and running by 2021. So that if somebody does need their dog trained as a legitimate service dog, you can get that, and we will be happy to help you do that. But we also have great classes online, and sometimes we will offer more of an amended one, very, very inexpensively. Some of them are even free. And I thought, gee, what a great idea for today for us to start out and start getting you guys to understand how you can train your own dog to be either a therapy dog or a service dog. Well, first of all, we talked about it weeks and weeks ago about what's the difference. Well, you have a therapy dog, you have an emotional support animal, and then you have a service dog or assistance dog. Now, to start out with, a dog who's a therapy dog has to pass some basic tests from whatever agency you're training with, whether it's the CGC or TDI you're doing, or, you know, one of the other places that, you know, it's through a different agency. But the dogs do have to be pretty good dogs, just their general nature. Generally, that's not a dog you're training to be nice. It's a dog that's just a great dog. And we've all seen those dogs and hopefully have had those dogs that they're just really easy, good dogs. And the people are volunteers who are going to be training with their dogs. And they're good people who just want to, you know, go and kind of, you know, make people happy, make kids smile, go visit patients, maybe let the kids read to the dog. The dog doesn't really do anything, but it's well behaved and it has to be of a good temperament or it's not going to pass. And even though a lot of times with these certifications, people will pass you when you shouldn't be, you kind of know you want to have the dog who's, you know, going to be legitimately good with people. And, you know, not, you know, take a dog who's potentially going to bite somebody, obviously, and let that happen, you know. So you just do want to try as best you can to do the right things. So if you guys can think for a minute and let's kind of talk about it for a moment. What is it that we can do that would be something that is, let's say, you know, a good thing that you could help? Like, how could you and what would you do if you were able to do something wonderful for somebody else? Well, I think some of the things that, you know, we really look at are what can we add? What can we make happen? What can we hopefully make better, you know, and I think everybody wants to be helpful and try to do good things for good people because let's face it, I mean, you know, if you think about all the things that people do that are kind of stinky and rotten, but then you think about, well, you know, I don't want to be one of those people. I want to do good things for people. I want to, you know, be able to make a difference in this world. And one of the really nice ways of doing that, I think, is, you know, to take things that are, you know, that are kind of more, more simple and making them work for you instead of making it complicated. So a dog who's a therapy dog, you go to training classes for 8 weeks, 1 hour a week, and then you pass a little test and you're a therapy dog. But at least you're starting out with a good dog. So, you know, if you instead are looking at, you know, what the difference between a therapy dog and a, let's say, an emotional support dog. An emotional support dog is not the kind of dog that has necessarily any training. And as a matter of fact, unfortunately, a lot of times they have no training. So, you know, you think about that for a minute and you say, wow, you know, that's not really cool, right? Because, you know, let's face it, if we're taking a dog on a plane or we're taking a dog, you know, who's perhaps going to, you know, be a little more careful that, you know, or be a little more careful that the dog is, you know, going to be good. Because the problem is if you say, oh, I'm going to take my dog on a plane or I'm going to take my dog, you know, into a store. If your dog starts barking, first of all, you look like an idiot. I mean, I'm being blunt. And second of all, you know, you're looking at, you know, something that maybe could have potential ramifications because you're doing something that, I mean, you have a legal liability. I don't know if most people realize that. If you take your ill-behaved pet or your ill-behaved emotional support dog onto a plane or into a public area and your dog bites someone or causes damage, you are still responsible for it. And that's something that I don't think a lot of people realize. So, you know, you can potentially wind up, you know, having an issue that, you know, you might not actually, you know, want to have. It's you got to be understanding that you are responsible for what happens. And if, you know, let's say you don't, you know, do what you're supposed to and you allow the dog to become aggressive or whatever, then, you know, it's kind of not cool. You know, you're causing problems that are really unnecessary and you're still responsible. So an emotional support dog can have training, but from what I've noticed and all the times my dogs and other people who I know, other dogs have been attacked or barked at or lunged at or whatever, you know, for a lot of it, the dogs are just kind of, you know, it's very obvious that there's a problem and that they're doing, you know, things, and that the dog, you know, is probably not trained at all. But besides the fact that you look really dumb doing it, you have to think about what you want to do. And it's really not that hard. I think it's not really that hard to have a really well-trained dog. It's not tough. But what happens is I think what we do is we look at, you know, other people and we say, well, if they can do it, I can do it. Don't think like that. I think about it like, look, that person's taking advantage of the system. I'm not going to be a jerk like that person is. And I'm not going to make this dog, bring it into an area that it shouldn't, be in. And I'm not going to do that because you're endangering your dog. So if you want to do that and then you want to get your dog training, that's what we're going to be working on in future weeks and again today as well. So first thing is we go into the service dogs. Why does a service dog get to go places? What is the dog entitled to? Why is a service dog allowed to go places where the owner can go? Why can that dog go? Well, the issue is that the dog needs to be doing a task. So in other words, the dog needs to be not so much only trained, but the dog needs to have specific training that is going to be related to a disability. So if your dog is doing a task for you, then that's where, you know, that's the part that is, the issue. Once you decide that you're, going to need a service dog because you have a disability, from that point on, your dog has to be able to not only be well behaved, but you want that dog to be able to perform a task to mitigate your disability. And if you're not going to have a dog who's going to be mitigating the disability, then that's kind of a problem. So you need to let the dog kind of dictate whether or not it's going to be able to help you. Now, what kind of tasks can dogs do to be service dogs? They can do any kind of physical limitations of anything, blindness, deafness. If you have mobility issues, you have any kind of requirement that a dog might have to open a door or anything like that for you, turn on light switches. Dogs can actually do pretty incredible stuff if you just teach them. But if the dog can do all those things, but he's a dog aggressive or he's reactive to people, then obviously he can't be a service dog. So a service dog truly has to be able to do, everything, plus be well-behaved while doing it. And if you can't make that work, then, yeah, that's kind of a little bit of an issue. So let's figure out what we can do. So the first thing we're going to start talking about is we're going to start discussing how can you make your dog a better dog and turn into a service dog. Well, first thing is you've got to make your dog, and be realistic, you've got to make your dog kind of out to be what he is. Don't sugarcoat it. If your dog is really afraid of things, or if your dog is aggressive, or if he's not good with kids, or he's not good with cats, or, you know, she chases squirrels, if she's, you know, really food motivated, all those things are kind of portenders of doom. You don't want to have a dog who's going to walk into a supermarket and grab a steak off the rack there, or grab a thing of prosciutto off a display, or a thing of gorgonzola cheese, because again, not only do you look stupid, but you're making it look bad for everybody who has a legitimate service dog. And anyone who has a service dog will be able to tell the same thing, and you will understand that is exactly why we get upset that people fake the service dogs. It's not that we don't want you to have a dog. If you need a dog, we want you to have a dog. We just don't want you to make it look bad for us because you wanted a dog. Bring your dog all over. So the first thing you have to do is teach your dog to be calm and to not be reactive. So for those people who are throwing the big red ball around all day long or using a laser pointer, you're making your dog more reactive. Doing things that encourage the dog to look at things and stare at things and focus on things and chase things is not something that is conducive to potentially being a good service dog. A good service dog is a good service dog because he can do the same tasks that or jobs that he's trained to do, whether it's in your house or whether it's in a mall or whether it's in a hotel or in a restaurant. But if your dog is reactive to things, or if you use a laser pointer, which is the worst thing in the world for dogs, it's fine for cats, but it's kind of the worst thing in the world for dogs. If you're doing that and you're using those items or trying to get them to chase things, you're setting them up for failure. It's really kind of tough and silly to do that. So you want your dog to be kind of happy and confident without being fearful or dominant or overreactive to things. So does it mean that if your dog is fearful, it can't be a good service dog in your house? No, you'd probably be fine. A service dog that's in your house is only a service dog in your house. If the dog can't pass very stringent public access exposure training, which, you know, you can have a dog who's attacked by another dog and it used to be fine and now it's not, and the dog can be a great service dog, but if he's got issues because, you know, that might be what happened where we had a problem, then, you know, then you got to either try to get, you know, a behaviorist, like a legitimate behaviorist to work with your dog, or somebody who's trained, you know, I would say bare minimum of 15 or 20 service dogs. The problem is there's so many local trainers out there who think they can train anything to do anything, and they really have no experience, and they really have to know not only about the dog, but also about the disability that the person has. It is really important to have, you know, whatever the disability is, to have someone who's very familiar with that disability who knows how to train the dog. I've just seen in the last several years, the last 3-4 years, and especially in the last 2, every local obedience trainer who's ever trained a dog to sit thinks they can train a service dog. And it's such a travesty. Just stick to what you're good at, all right? If you can make a dog sit and lie down, then that's what you should do. But don't start messing with something else. It's like somebody, you know, who can fix bicycles saying, I can fix a semi. No, you can't. You're great at fixing bicycles. Just fix bicycles. You don't have to fix a semi, or you don't have to fix a jet. It's a totally different skill set. And a lot of times what people will do that kind of messes their dogs up and sets them up for failure is they'll take that dog that you know, that's very good at something and is good at a skill, and they do it so much, but they're doing it always for a food reward. And the dog starts thinking like, ooh, if I want food, I just have to do that skill. Instead of the dog learning how to do it automatically, kind of like, you know, hey, I'm gonna do the skill because I smell mom's blood sugar going low. Instead of, you know, what it should be, sometimes dogs will just kind of false indicate, and that's something that my husband and I used to try to prevent the narcotics dogs from doing. Dogs sometimes know if they don't find something in a building, they'll hit on something else. Just if they've been in a while, they hit on something that they shouldn't because they want the treat. So you really have to be careful that the dog, first of all, isn't smarter than you are, and second of all, that the dog is alerting on what it's supposed to alert on instead of, you know, potentially alerting just on, you know, on the fact that it wants to get something, and that's why it starts doing what it's doing. So, again, you know, it's important for everybody, I think, to kind of look at things and say, hey, I want my dog to be a service dog. I have a legitimate disability that would be covered under the Americans with Disabilities Act of 1990, and I need to find someone. So we do train dogs for people, and I love doing that. I really, truly love training people, dogs to be service dogs. But not every dog can be a service dog, and unfortunately, probably 1 in 100 can actually do that. Not that 1 in 100 can't pass public access or can't do the skills, but it's kind of like if you said, you know, I want a blonde, blue-eyed child. You know, you have maybe a 1 in 4 chance of having a blonde, and maybe you have a 1 in 3 chance of having blue-eyed child. So you really have a 1 in 12 chance of having a blonde, blue-eyed child. It's just kind of the way that works. So it's the same thing. You can have a dog who's good at one thing but isn't good at the other thing. And also another thing that's really important, the dog has to be physically healthy and in good shape. So imagine if you have a dog, especially if you're going to use the dog for mobility or for a young child, and the dog, or for somebody who's active, and the dog has arthritic hips, or the dog has an OCD lesion, or the dog has no hip sockets, which I just saw this adorable little golden puppy, and it was, you know, puppy mill bred, and it literally had no hip sockets. I've never seen such a crazy set of X-rays. Literally, there were no sockets in the pelvis. They were just like, it was just flat, and they had to take bone out of each side and actually put a real hip in there, and then put the ball, which was also not good. They had to put that and put a TPLO, like, or the total hip replacement they had to do on the dog. So a dog like that, you know, that doesn't have good physical conformation also should not be a service dog because it's not fair to the dog and it can break down. A dog who has bad conformation or has health issues is not a good candidate for a service dog or to be a therapy dog, because therapy dogs can get petted, and we don't want a dog who's going to snap at somebody because he's in pain, and the dog is in pain and trying to prevent the person from, you know, necessarily, you know, touching that area. So if you're petting the dog over his hips and he's got painful hips, then obviously he may snap or react, and if that happens, and the dog does something wrong, you know, you're liable for it. So there are a lot of things to do. And, you know, we should really just be very thankful for the year we've had. We should be very happy that we're here. We're here to listen to each other and to talk with each other. You know, again, I always try to explain to everybody to please help out also right now at this time of the year. Our foundation, Merlin's Kids, we do all the training for the service dogs and the therapy dogs, and a lot of people actually with emotional support dogs are being smart now and starting to contact us to get training, even though they don't technically need it, but this way they at least can show the airlines or whoever it is that they have the good therapy or service dog background, and at least that the dogs will be, you know, well behaved, which is, you know, all people want, right? We just want the dog to be well-behaved. We don't want the dog to be ill-behaved. We want it to be well-behaved. So we're going to start up next time we get together, and we're going to start going through different things you should probably think of having or doing in order to choose your service dog or your therapy dog or your emotional support dog, and things that are kind of intuitive and some might be counterintuitive. So unfortunately, we've already gotten to our hour, and it's time to say goodbye. But I am so grateful that we're all here to enjoy things. I will pray for those of you who unfortunately have had loss or are in a bad way right now. And it's interesting how evil continues to get punished. And somehow the good people, even when there's something bad that happens, you'll find that there will be something good that should come out of it. And we will pray for you. But the evil people who are out there, good luck. And all you good people who love your animals and your families, I pray for you. I wish you the happiest and healthiest of New Year's, great holiday season, lots of love, and stay happy and healthy into the new year and long beyond. Everyone have a wonderful, wonderful evening and a great weekend. Love you. Talk to you next week.